This is LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. News, traffic, weather, and more. 1039 LI News Radio.
Well, a taxing day it was. And it is part of a spotlight segment on Long Island with the great Dr. Martin Cantor, Long Island Center for Socioeconomic Policy, economist extraordinaire right here on the island. And we welcome Marty to the airwaves. Almost didn't have him, but glad to have him. Sir, how are you?
Yep, I'm here.
I tell you, tough day yesterday. I was reading some comments you had in the paper. Was this as tough a tax season, Marty Cantor, as we have ever seen, in your estimation?
No, it's certainly not. I mean, for those who are old enough to remember 1986, when President Ronald Reagan dramatically changed the tax code, was a difficult time. But when you have, you know, and since then, the tax code has basically remained the same, with each Congress tinkering a little bit with it. But this tax season was similar to 86 in that there was a major revamping of everything from exemptions to capital gains treatment to tax brackets to elimination of state and local tax deductions, employee business expenses. There was a lot of major changes in what could be deductible, and especially in how you handle what they call subchapter S corporations, which are corporations that elect to be taxed as individuals. There were some changes in how that income is reported and what kind of income is was eligible for the 20% reduction in income. So there's a lot of stuff that you had to go through. So I don't want to say it's taxing, because it was really taxing for the people who owed money, but for professionals, they had to, up the game a bit.
You know, it's interesting. Marty Cantor with us. Tax deadline has passed. In essence, what I've read over the last couple of weeks, Marty, was that people's refunds was either no more or a lot less. Would you agree with that as far as this season?
Oh, well, you have to add, you have to pay taxes also, but that's correct. What happened was, and people didn't really, get a sense of it, the tax code, that's probably one of the reasons why sales tax revenues have been increasing this year in both counties, with the exception of, the last quarter. But, people through the year were receiving more money in their take-home pay, and that was really the goal of President Trump's tax cut plan, was that they put more money into people's pockets during the year to spend, and as a result, you had less taxes withheld. So therefore, when you filed your taxes, almost all the taxpayers found that they either got less than last year, broke even, or actually had to pay more. It was because you got more money during the year, and people didn't quite grasp that.
And that's the key. And, we told people, if you are not ready to file, at least get an extension in place to do so. I think you have until October. Still got to pay on time as far as everything else. But right, Marty, I mean, pretty much if you weren't ready, you had to file at least an extension. I think it's like $50 through a regular CPA or whatever. Go ahead.
If you go on the website, and it's too late now, but New York State has a very interesting website where you can file an extension for no cost, and the federal government as well, electronically. But you're right when you say the extension is only extending a time to file, not time to pay. So those folks who filed extensions thinking that they're in good shape, they should take a hard look at their taxes, because from this point on, you get charged penalties and interest for underwithholding if the reason for your being underwithheld is reasonable to the IRS. They can waive the penalties, but if it's just that you withheld not enough, or you didn't pay enough estimated taxes, then they hit you with penalties. And those penalties can be as much as 10% a month, up to 60%. And the interest is calculated basically, I think, about 1% a month. So it could be, you can wind up paying a lot more money if you don't pay your tax.
Marty Cantor with us, tax season. Marty, I'm not getting too giddy over the Suffolk County executive's announcement yesterday on and the signing of legislation to establish the first county-sponsored charitable gift reserve fund in the state of New York. So pretty much what he's saying is the fund complies with a provision in state law. It's designed to protect residents from the adverse impacts of the new financial tax law. Talking about the SALT stuff, the $10,000 cap. I think if people do their homework and really kind of delve into this, to me, it sounds like window dressing in an election year. I'm not buying it completely. Well, Give me your take on this situation from yesterday regarding this new piece of legislation, because there's a lot of underlying factors involved with this.
Well, I think you're right, Jay. I mean, I think it's I agree with you. I think it's an election year ploy. You know, the reality is tax law is in, you know, federal tax law is it's federal law. The IRS has the final say, not any law passed in New York State. If he doesn't have in his hand a private letter ruling from the IRS, which allows the charitable deduction, I'm trying so hard not to call it a sham, but if he doesn't have a private letter ruling from the IRS, regardless of what the state law has passed, because this is federal purview, and what's deducted is federal purview and the responsibility of the IRS, then this was just a window dressing, to hide the other ills in Suffolk County in terms of all the money that the county takes from taxpayers and residents with the mortgage fees and the red light cameras, and all these gimmicks. I just think that as a tax preparer, as a professional, I think it's just disingenuous, to hold out hope for taxpayers who are overtaxed to begin with. The other thing, it sounds so much like that scam of the college scandals, where parents put money into a charitable foundation, and that charitable foundation spent the money on bribes to get their kids into college. I mean, and the last thing is that the charitable contributions theoretically are an itemized deduction, which have limitations when you do your tax returns. Right now, you get the larger of the $24,000 if you're married, a married household, $24,000 standard deduction versus what you can deduct in your property taxes. You know, I would have rather seen the county executive come out and say, listen, I think the school districts need to control their property taxes, and I'm certainly going to reduce my spending in Suffolk County to reduce the cost to taxpayers that are impacted by SALT, rather than giving them, false hope with something like this.
You nailed it right on the head. School district, two words. Now, ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind, it is up to your local government or school district to set up this fund to receive these charitable contributions. Let's face it, the local government or school district is under no requirement. You see, when you try and pull wool over someone's eyes, guess what? It usually comes back to bite you on the keister, and that's what's happening here. The district's under no requirement to set it up. It is completely, Marty, and tell me if I'm wrong, it is completely voluntary for them to do so. Okay, so if a town has set up a fund and contributions to the fund for the real estate taxes that are due, guess what? The amount of charitable gift is to exceed your credit against your real estate taxes. Key point here in all of this stuff.
Well, you happen to be right. I mean, and look, we love our schools and we love the excellence that our students graduate high school and go on to colleges and become and contribute to their communities when they come back. But it's long past the time when school districts are treated with kid gloves in terms of the budgets that they spend, the people they hire, the really disdain for taxpayers. And the complaining that school districts say we didn't get enough money from the state. Well, guess what? That's taxpayers' money. And they're complaining about the property tax cap being made permanent because the teachers' unions fear that that more teachers won't be hired or raises will be curtailed. I think I wish that the county executive would have taken off the kid gloves and said, listen, I can do this at the county level, but it's not going to mean much unless the school districts do something to curtail their taxes.
Of course, and that's why Albany always anticipates very strong resistance from the IRS to allow these gifts to this fund to be deductible as these so-called charitable contributions. Listen, if this were to be the case, I mean, think about it, folks. The result would be that you would have paid an additional amount of real estate taxes without the benefit of the charitable deduction on your return. I mean, it's very simple. The average Joe can understand this if it is laid out that way. And furthermore, all these contributions made to this fund, regardless of any type of any type of deductibility, call it, they are non-refundable in nature. So keep that in mind, too. Please.
Yeah, you know, and look, you can just think what could happen. You know, people will believe that this bill has merit, which I don't, and they can take the charitable deductions on their tax returns. And then guess what? The IRS comes in and says to the people, this is against tax code, against the tax code. It's a blatant evasion of taxes. And once you get into the blatant evasion of taxes, then you get into civil penalties on top of the failure to file penalties. And the civil penalties are 100% of the tax that's owed. So the individuals who actually participate in what the county executive wanted could face significant penalties and interest way in excess of what they might not have if they could deduct it. I just think it's giving false hope to people who are saying I need money to live. It's just, you know, I just don't think it's right.
Marty Cannon with us, and you know, you mentioned three words: private letter ruling. Apparently, the administration is against PLRs because, you know, you go back to this whole controversy regarding the septic system upgrades, Marty, and the finger pointing at the controller for not being real as far as, you know, doing the right thing and everything else. You know, let's face it, this controller had asked the administration April last year in a letter to the deputy county executive regarding what direction to go in based on these county grants that were given to these homeowners. I'm talking about the $10,000 to $20,000 upgrades that they received. In essence, they got no direction from the administration. As this controller did the right thing, you can kind of ascertain by covering all bases by sending 1099 forms. And again, I stress 1099s being sent out to cover tracks here while waiting word from the Internal Revenue Service.
Well,
pretty much that's the case.
Well, you know, here's the thing. A private letter rulings can be expedited, and all it would take would be, you know, the Congress people and the senators from New York State to say to the IRS, come on, we got this project going, and it's tax season. Could you accelerate a private letter ruling? They do that. It costs a couple of bucks for the people asking for the private letter ruling, but it happens. And the IRS has a mechanism for that. The county controller, Kennedy, was right. Somebody's got to report the income and somebody, you know, for the grants. And if the, you know, and the county's argument is, well, you know, we gave, you know, the money to the, you know, to the installers and the contractors. But the money was really directed at the people who got the grants to install the septic systems. So I, you know, just from our discussion today and from what I read about, it seems it was terribly mishandled by the county and the controller. By law, if somebody gets the benefit of a grant or a gift, you have to give them a 1099. And so, you know, Controller Kennedy was right in doing it. As far as I'm concerned, you know, there should be an expedited private letter ruling by the IRS in order to, you know, resolve this issue, because it is resolvable. Somebody's got to report the income.
But somehow they didn't want to kind of sink the dollars into a private letter ruling when requested, by the way, April 30th, 2018. Let's not forget this. And that's no direction was given as far as which way to go here.
Oh, yeah, and look, here's another reality. The county is under pressure for the to get the nitrogen out of the water. You know, everybody agrees that there's nitrogen, you know, in the water. So this is a way to do the sewers. But nobody wants to pay for the sewers. That's the biggest thing. That nobody who has the benefit of sewers or these new septic systems wants to pay for it. So the county says, we're going to give you a gift, so do it, and you'll pay less money. Now, who would turn that away? And I'm sure that nowhere in the discussion with the homeowners was, if we give you the grants, you're going to have to pay tax on the income. I'm sure that, you know, my guess is that was never in the discussion. You know, whenever people get free money, nobody ever says you're going to have to pay tax on it. So, so I just think the whole thing may have been fiscally, mishandled. And now, the county executive's got a problem because somebody's got to pay the tax. And the federal government's going to want their money for those grants.
And to even say that the guy is just politicizing the whole thing, the finger pointing towards the controllers, just asinine. A couple of minutes left with the great Marty Cantor. Marty, and that's why you have Congress kind of getting together now. Each side. You know, you have a Tom Suozzi and a Peter King trying to figure it out. You have a Suozzi King, Lee Zeldin, trying to figure out the salt stuff. People getting together. Do you think anything could be offset as far as salt-based on our local leaders are concerned from a federal standpoint? Do you see any changes coming the way that thereof?
No, I don't see any changes. You know, just run the numbers here. There will be no changes until the presidential election. And if the president is a Democrat and and both houses turn Democrat, then you have a possibility where everybody agrees. But remember something. The argument for this salt tax deduction was the fact that the states in the middle of the country, and even Texas for that matter, who have property taxes way lower than the blue states, they're not going to want to increase their tax burden to give benefits to the blue states. That's always been the issue, and it's fallen on deaf ears that New York State sends about $20 billion more to the federal government than we get back, which is theoretically we are financing the states with low property taxes, but that argument is not resonating now. Now, should Donald Trump win re-election, then we're not going to see anything in the salt until 2024, because he's certainly not going to sign a bill that reinstates the salt deduction. So this could be as much as 6 years from now before Long Islanders will even smell a whiff of getting their salt deductions reinstated.
Listen, lastly, I'll bring this up. You know, you brought it up in the beginning of the conversation, Marty Cantor, and that was sales tax revenue, and I agree. You know, it's a beautiful thing when you fight hard and you can try and recoup some of that stuff. Listen, we all know it's an internet world we live in. I get it. But let's be real here. Just as, you know, this charitable fund nonsense, I look at this whole thing as sales tax revenue as more nonsense, especially as far as Suffolk is concerned. I mean, Suffolk County, Marty, you can make the case, has amassed so much debt over the last 10 years. That for what? Operating expenses, throw salaries in the mix, throw pensions in the mix, repayment, taking a chunk, in my opinion, out of a budget. And I'm talking about some of these debt service payments coming up this year. It's going to eat up most of the projected increase in sales tax revenue. So let's not go gaga over sales tax revenue, especially here in Suffolk County. To me, it's a wash.
I agree with you. I always felt that the politicians were using the small businesses as pawns in this issue. You know, they wanted, you know, small businesses wanted sales tax on internet sales because they felt that the internet was impacting their businesses, which is correct, because there's more choices for merchandise to buy. Some are better prices, certainly the ease of sitting at your computer. But that's not why small business is hurting. You know, small business is hurting because they can't stock everything in their stores, and they have to pay for rent for their bricks and mortar stores. And the sales tax revenue is just to give more money to New York State and more money to Suffolk County and Nassau County to spend. And I would love to see that all those additional sales tax revenues go into a lockbox to start paying down the debt. I wouldn't want to see one penny of that go into more spending on the county level, because I think the county, both counties, well, at least Suffolk, is starting to spend willy-nilly and really has put the county in fiscal imbalance for a long, long time.
Marty, it is always a pleasure. What we like to do here, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, having listened to this show for a long time, we keep it real. We give you the right information and everything else. One thing we cannot tolerate is false information. And one guest I have on to always clear that up to help me is the great Martin Cantor. Dr. Cantor, a pleasure. And by the way, it sounds much better on the phone, doesn't it, than tin cans, possibly?
Well, I thought we were going to have to use a megaphone this morning.
Until next time, sir.
Anytime, Jay. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me call in.